The following podcast may contain adult language and an abundance of PBR. So get ready, nerds, because we're talking Cabin in the Woods week.
Is it?
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the Salty Nerd Podcast. Today, we're talking about Creepy Cabin Week, and I'm joined, as always, by my fantastic and very buzzed and or drunk co-hosts. Matt Vader is in his element. Welcome, sir. How are you doing?
I am totally in my element here, bro. It's like, hold on. Oh, yeah. That's some good shit right there.
We're cracking. For those of you who do not watch us on YouTube, we are cracking open some Pabst Blue Ribbon in honor of this fantastic week.
We drink so much good alcohol on this thing. It feels kind of good to just drink some shitty fucking skunk beer for a change. You know, this is how I grew up. We used to buy like cases of this stuff.
This is not my beer of choice.
Hey, Alex, nice hat.
Thank you. You know,
this is stuff you can go down on the strip here in Vegas and get for a dollar a pounder. It's great.
You know what's funny is I forget sometimes that the rest of the country can't buy alcohol at
24/7
at the local gas station. Mm-hmm.
You can't get a bucket of?
Nah, you go to YouTube. You go to Utah and you can't buy freaking anything.
Oh, that's a fact.
Yeah.
I went to a wedding a couple of weeks ago. We rented a cabin. And we had to bring our own booze.
Yeah. Yeah, because you can't have it. You can't even have it shipped. Like your wine thing that you get shipped to your house, that they can't do that in Utah.
Those goddamn Mormons. I swear.
Jude's also here. How you doing?
Hey, how you doing?
Good. You look like you're jazzed to talk about this week.
I had a great week. Thank you. Cheers. Was a fun-ass week.
Yeah, it was a good week. And also Matthew Kadish, who was rocking his own type of cosplay. Ooh, look at that.
Baby, you looking good. Thank you. Yeah, you brothers. You was a macho man.
Look at that. Yes.
It's like, wow.
I would like it to be known that all of these gentlemen today are wearing my hats.
Yes. I did provide my own shirt, though.
I have a lot of trucker hats.
I dig it.
They all wanted the Tito's hat, but I was like, no, it's my favorite.
Yeah, she got the Tito's hat.
Yeah, we're basically cosplaying Tucker and Dale.
Yeah.
You guys are today. Cosplaying.
Okay, so
I am Dale. I don't know what you guys are talking about.
So for the movies today, we're talking Cabin in the Woods. Cabin.
The slutty girl that gets murdered first.
Cabin Fever. And our favorite, I think, of the week is probably Tucker and Dale versus Evil. Mm-hmm. So stay tuned. We're going to talk about all these three of these movies. It's going to be a great time. And before we get started with the first one, I just want to say that we're going to take a quick break to listen to some sponsors real quick, and we'll be right back.
That's a great speech.
Thanks.
American Corn Farmers, a proud and chosen profession inspired through generations. Tested, resilient, and committed to giving back as much as they're growing. Pushing the boundaries of what's possible with every bushel, while replenishing every increasingly precious resource, like the reduction of soil loss by 40% with every acre grown. In a world where sustainability matters more than ever, we need all the help we can get. And there's no greater resource than the capable hands of American corn farmers.
Planning on traveling this summer? Make saving at the pump part of your plans with 2x the fuel points from Harris Teeter. It's easy. Download your EVIC coupon, and for every dollar you spend with your VIC card, you'll get 2 fuel points. That's up to $1 per gallon on quality fuel at participating BP and Harris Teeter fuel centers. Download your EVIC coupon today and save money at the pump all summer long with EVIC and Harris Teeter fuel points.
Money is the number one cause of stress and the number two cause of divorce. Make your money go further and work harder with a certified financial planner from Facet Wealth. Financial planning used to focus on retirement, but Facet helps you with today. You get a dedicated financial planner that guides you through every financial decision. Inflation, interest rates, stock market changes, home prices. How do you figure it all out? Well, every advisor at Facet is a certified financial planner and fiduciary. That's just a fancy way to say they have the best training and they're legally bound to do what's in your best interest. This isn't just about investments. It's about taking care of your money so you can start living a better life today. Facet has a simple flat fee, no hidden charges, and with nothing to sell, there are no commissions. Visit TryFacetWealth.com for 2 months free off your first year of financial planning. That's TryFacetWealth.com. Facet Wealth is an SEC registered investment advisor. This is not an offer to buy or sell securities, nor is it investment, legal, or tax advice.
Welcome back, everybody. All right, before we get into it, a real quick spiel. This episode is not brought to you by Pabst Blue Ribbon, but We are drinking the hell out of it today. And if you would like to sponsor the podcast, go to saltynerdclub.com and help us out. You can join the club membership. And in return, you get 4 exclusive podcasts every single month where we are the most raw, drunk, unfiltered people that we want to be. We don't have to worry about getting taken down off of YouTube or Apple or Spotify or whatever. We can just be us. And you guys get a ton of extra content. And then, of course, our Discord access where we have a fantastic community of patrons over there already, club members that are in our Discord app chatting all the time. We're talking about what movies we're going to watch, what kind of stuff we're going to do.
I do outtake videos.
I do live streams for video games. Vader pops in there a bunch and does some fun stuff with the patrons as well.
I have a really good time with the Discord group.
It's a fantastic community. So jump in, saltynerdclub.com. Join up. It's only $5 a month and you would help us out a huge ton. I'm so drunk right now. I'm sorry. All right, let's get into it.
I got to chug some more. I'm not even halfway there.
I can't get... Oh, God. I'm like, what, 4 beers in and a couple...
Listen, we got to be a little buzzed up.
Yes.
To talk about these movies.
All right. So the first movie on our list.
For those of you who want to join the club, we got exclusive video of Alex and Vader
chugging
these beers.
Yes.
That's will only be available to members.
Yeah.
I think we have an exclusive video of Kadish wearing some kind of weird gay Viking outfit.
It's like, hi, everybody.
We're not sure. It's like a hillbilly Viking.
He was talking about his grill for a few minutes. It was good stuff. All right, so let's get into this. The first movie on our list today is Cabin in the Woods. And Jude, take it away. What is this movie all about?
I just want to say y'all look real good.
That's the one with Thor, right?
Yeah, Scott Thor. Chris Hemsworth.
Got to get him straight.
2011, Cabin in the Woods, rated R with a runtime of 1 hour 35 minutes. This had a budget of $30 million.
That's it?
What do you think this brought into the box office?
Oh, that must have been all in the last 10 minutes of the movie.
It was all on weed.
Yeah, $30 million? Yeah. I'm going to say it brought in at least 75 to 80 minimum.
Okay, V?
I don't have any idea what this would have brought in on its initial box office run. I'm going to say probably 65 million. But I think this is like probably made a lot more money since then. Because this is like a straight up cult movie now, right?
Just like to say that what you said was 60 to 65.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
Okay.
How much did it make?
70 million.
Nice.
All right, yeah, right, yeah,
right on.
All right, fist
we're better when we're drunk.
Yeah, yeah.
Here's the synopsis.
Go for it.
Shh. The ancient ones are sleeping. And they need to stay that way, so a sacrifice must be made. Cue a van full of archetypes ready for vacay in a secluded cabin. Stopping for gas, they meet a super helpful harbinger who gives them directions to the cabin, where they can finally get this party started. Suddenly, the basement trap door flies open, and they all file down to check it out. Finding an array of odd antiques, they start exploring, unaware that they're choosing the method of their brutal murders, while Richard Jenkins and Bradley Whitford watch and take bets on just what will kill them. But it's all for the survival of humanity, so like, don't judge.
So basically,
is this your first time watching this movie?
This movie, yes.
Okay.
I'm so excited. Yeah. I don't know anyone except for you two who's never watched this movie before.
I've seen it.
I love this movie. I watch it every year at least once.
No, I am going to watch this movie every year going forward
from now on.
So this is what I learned this week. They've made this movie a million times just with different kids and a little bitty of a twist on the way everybody dies.
Yes.
And this movie's fucking bonkers. Okay. It is straight up crazy sauce. I don't even know what else to say about
it. It's my favorite movie that we watched this week.
It's pre Thor Hemsworth. He's a total kind of idiot douchebag.
He's a bro. But also that's part of the experiment. They're pumping in shit to keep him dumb and like masculine. But like, he's a philosophy major here on full scholarship and they're just taking a break from college. And like, they totally Neanderthal him.
What I like about this movie is it brings into question all other horror slasher movies.
Yes.
And like, oh, this could be seen through this lens.
Yes.
And it could totally be something that's happening in the background. Well, we just don't know it.
Yeah, so this movie, it was written by Drew Goddard and Joss Whedon. Drew Goddard was kind of Joss Whedon's protege on Buffy and stuff like that, and he went on to create the Daredevil series on Netflix. And
well, no wonder and we like it.
Awesome. And this was his directorial debut. The two of them wrote this screenplay in 3 days. They locked themselves in a hotel room for a weekend. And
just a buttload of coke?
I guess, maybe. So they essentially kind of, you know, came up with this idea that every horror movie ever made is kind of like a sacrifice to these elder gods that basically once they're appeased, they stay asleep and humanity continues to prosper. The idea here is that there's this secret organization who every year they have to, you know, do this ritual, and it's very complicated and elaborate, but it basically creates these horror movies. And there are versions of this secret organization all over the world. There's like the Chinese one, the Japanese one, the Brazilian
Stockholm.
One. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they all create these horror movies, basically, where they sacrifice these people. And you only need to make one sacrace, but, you know, just for, you know, redundancy's
sake.
The
ancient ones are not asking for a lot.
Yeah.
One sacrifice, it'll do me.
Yeah. And so we're following these characters and we see like all the tricks that are done to make them into the typical horror movie cliches. Mm-hmm. And throughout the course of the movie, these characters kind of buck the system and start fighting back. And so like we get to see the inner workings of this secret organization. And it's really a fun take on the horror movie genre. In fact, the two characters played by Bradley Whitford and Richard Jenkins, who are like just, you know, at the start of the movie, you almost think you're watching the wrong movie because it's just these two guys talking about, you know,
right,
their wives and stuff in a break room in an office.
What the hell is this?
And those characters were meant to be like the self-inserts of Joss Whedon and Drew Goddard. So they were just basically writing themselves.
Oh, nice.
In that. And it's a really funny kind of like way to start the movie because you're like, what's going on here? And then like you learn about it throughout the course of the
their
movie.
Conversations are hilarious though when you're listening to what they're actually talking about, and they make
they're
those
like baby-proofing the house.
Yeah, they make like snide little remarks to the fellow co-workers and stuff, like, what department do you work for? Oh, that's right. And then they just like drive off. It's like it's really, really clever, funny stuff that you get to watch. And
it's very Joss Whedon dialogue.
Yeah,
I found myself wanting to know more about this secret organization.
Yeah, right. Me too.
Like, let's get into the weeds here. Let's learn about these people. I want to see a TV series about, you know, the people that worship Cthulhu and all these guys that, you know, need to like appease these gods every year.
There's a great scene where they're all doing an office pool on which monsters the sacrifices are going to pick.
It's the best part.
Yeah.
And Bradley Whitford really wants a merman. He's been waiting for years to see a merman. Like
the weakest of all of them.
Well, I love that his coworkers like, dude, you don't want that. And the mess up is a disaster. Yeah, it's a horrible thing.
The cleanup is a disaster.
Yeah, the cleanup is,
Yeah, and there's this part where they're like, not to flash forward, but there's this part when... So our archetypes have come to the cabin and they have gone down to the basement and they have chosen the method of their demise.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the people back at the facility is like, but that's not fair. I chose zombies too.
Yeah.
And he's like, no, but this is different. This isn't just zombies. This is zombie redneck torture worshiping family. He's like, that's totally different.
It's like the difference between an elephant and an elephant seal.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was really funny.
But let's talk about our archetypes.
Yeah. Go for
it. We've got the whore.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
The blonde virgin. Chick.
Yep.
The athlete.
Yep.
The scholar and the fool. So we have five people. And it matters what order they die in. So I think the whore has to die
whore
first.
The whore has to go first.
Yep.
And the fool has to die last.
And
then the virgin is optional.
Yeah, the virgin's optional. She doesn't have to die, but she can.
She has to suffer.
Suffering is the main part of this. God. Like they don't care.
She suffered. Yeah, holy shit.
Yeah. They don't care if they die. Like, it can't be easy.
Yeah.
It has to be a horrible
thing. She has to suffer, but whether or not she dies is optional.
Mm-hmm.
But let's talk about our fool.
Oh, he's
this guy.
Oh, he is a staple of Joss Whedon programming.
Crams, yeah.
I love how people from Bloodsucking Bastards showed up in a couple of these movies that we watched this week.
Yes.
I was super into that. I was like, oh, that's that guy. That's the freaking dude from this movie or whatever. Mm-hmm. It was really cool.
So the fool is Frank Katz, who plays Marty.
Yes.
Our stoner.
Our introduction to him, he drives up into his little Volkswagen, family car, and he's completely just, what is it called when he...
Hotboxing.
Yeah, hotboxing himself. Thank you.
I don't know how I know that.
He's completely hotboxing himself. And when he gets out, he's got this cooler that extends into a giant bong.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And they're like, dude, you can't bring that bong onto our freaking RV. Like, and he's and he shrinks it down. He's like, what do you mean, my cup of coffee?
Yeah.
It's like, what are you, stoned?
We all know that guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know what's funny is that, so obviously Thor is in this movie, Chris Hemsworth. And this was before Chris Hemsworth was Chris Hemsworth. You know, he was just kind of like an unknown guy who was cast in this film. And this film actually got him the lead role in Red Dawn.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
and
okay.
The Red Dawn remake. And those two movies were actually shelved for like 2 or 3 years. And by the time they came out because he was cast as Thor and he kind of blew up. And so this movie would have never seen the light of day if Chris Hemsworth hadn't gotten that role as Thor. Oh,
good for you.
Really?
Hemsworth.
Yeah.
Oh, because this movie stands on its own.
Oh my gosh, yeah. It is the best.
Yeah, it's awesome.
I love this movie.
I love this movie too. And the effects are great and everything. Like the CGI
There's nothing bad about it.
There's nothing bad, yeah.
I'm really pissed off at myself that I had not seen this yet.
I'm so happy I got to experience your first one.
And I don't know why I hadn't seen it before now. Probably just because I don't like I don't watch a lot of horror movies if it's not October.
Yeah.
So it just hasn't
come across your plate yet.
I haven't had a reason to watch it.
Well, you know what's hilarious about this movie is that it follows the Evil Dead formula of what happens, and the cabin that they have in this movie is an exact replica of the Evil Dead cabin.
No way. Yeah. Oh, that's awesome.
And everything down to the cellar, and it's just every horror movie you've ever seen is portrayed in some way, shape, or form in this movie. Like they have the pinhead guy with Hellraiser and basically they had to create 80 different creatures for that scene. And most of them came from Buffy the Vampire
Slayer. I do want to say that before we get going any further, yes, we do know that the Evil Dead movies are cabin movies, but we want to, at some point in the future, give them their own week.
Yeah, they deserve their own week.
And that's why they're not.
And also, that'll be
this episode.
That's the only reason they weren't a part of this.
That's the only reason they weren't a part of this.
Yeah, and for me, with Bruce Campbell, I love Bruce Campbell, that'll be a majority of a first watch for me. So I'm saving it.
Yeah.
That's cool. That's right. You've only seen
The sequel. Yeah, I've seen the sequel. Yeah.
Well, speaking of Bruce Campbell, you know what's funny is at the end of this movie, Sigourney Weaver shows up as the manager.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It was a big cameo thing. Originally, Joss Whedon was trying to get Bruce Campbell for that role.
That would have been awesome.
That would have been amazing. Yeah.
That would have been really cool.
That would have taken it to a whole different level.
Especially considering all the stuff that they pull from the Evil Dead movies to just see Bruce show up as the guy in charge of everything would have been fantastic. But unfortunately, he had a scheduling conflict and he couldn't do it. So they got Sigourney Weaver instead.
I will say, though, when Sigourney Weaver shows up and you hear her voice over the intercom when the kids escape the elevator and you're like, wait a second, I recognize that voice. And then you see her for the first time, to me, because I love Sigourney Weaver, that does legitimize this movie a little bit for me. I saw her and I was like, oh, this is freaking...
Did she do the same thing with Jolt?
I didn't watch that movie.
No, that was the redhead lady, Susan Sarandon.
Oh, Susan Sarandon, okay. For me, this is being a horror movie buff, we all know that there are rules to horror movies.
Yeah.
And this is just autopsying
like a
horror movie and being this is where this rule comes
from. It's a deconstruction.
It's a deconstruction of a horror movie where you know that there are the rules and you get to this is this rule. I'm going to label it right here. And you get to totally take apart a horror movie and label it in those rules. And it's just so much fun for me. Yeah.
And this makes me I'm not a horror person.
No.
You know this. You guys all know this.
Yeah.
Horror movies are not my genre. Mm. I don't really care for them.
Ain't your thing.
Yeah. This movie makes me want to go watch other horror movies.
Right.
And pretend too. Like it's in the same universe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's why I love this movie so much. Because I can be like, oh, that's freaking cool. That's all part of the plan.
It's like,
conspiracy and horror.
Yes. Yes. I dig it.
I don't know why people ever even think about renting cabins or beach houses or anything.
You make a good point. When I was like reflecting back and I was like, oh shit, I just rented a cabin a few weeks ago. That was very stupid of me.
Nothing good ever happens.
So I actually have, it's not about any of these movies, but I have a funny cabin thing. Is I did rent a cabin one time. We went on vacation. I think it was.
Is this why you do tents from now on?
I think tents are worse. There's no walls.
Yeah.
But there was I rented a cabin in like Vermont or New Hampshire or someplace when I was a teenager, and we went and we watched a movie called The Strangers. Okay. And it's all about this couple who rents a cabin.
No, I'm familiar.
Yeah. That movie freaked the freaking hell out of me.
It's very scary.
Yes, it's terrifying, especially if you're literally in the same type of house that the things have happened in. So,
yeah, and if somebody just proposed to you and you're like, I'm not into it.
Well, in this movie, they actually had stand-ins for the people in, like, the monsters.
Yeah, they had the people with the face coverings, yeah. Right, with the white masks. Yeah, yeah, I saw those. So we've kind of talked about the inner workings of this. We have this background organization who's like manipulating all the situations.
Which is the best part of this movie.
That is,
my opinion. Just like the mundane office aspect of this.
Yeah, the betting pool, and then them like when they find out that why is the freaking cave not exploded? What the hell is going on? And they run out. The guy's like, make a hole, and he's running down the hallway.
I was like, I have so many questions because I want to know how they recruit for this organization.
Mm. And
how do you get brought into it? You know, can you leave once you join? You know, it's like, I'm over this.
All good questions.
Oh, God, shit. You know, it's like, I really want to see that show.
And it turns out there's a conspiracy inside the conspiracy.
Well, my biggest question is that, so, you know, this organization exists around the world. And you have to follow this ritual where you sacrifice, you know, 4 to 5 people every year.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, in the Japanese section where they had like something from like The Ring where it was like a ghostly girl's terrorizing these like
9-year olds.
Yeah. It's like, well, which one of those little girls is the whore and the warrior and the fool? And
they have different customs over there. So
yeah, I got the impression that each thing was a different trope.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So this was the trope of the teenagers.
Well, I mean, like, yeah, like they follow different horror movie tropes in the film, but in my, you know, whenever I was watching this movie, and I do like this movie, but this always kind of stuck out to me as being strange, is this concept that, you know, you need these 4 to 5 sacrifices, but everywhere else in the world wasn't following that same model, and they never bothered to explain it.
So. Okay.
So I didn't need an explanation.
I didn't either.
For me, it was, this is the American sacrifice, mm-hmm. and this is the Stockholm sacrifice, and this is the Japan sacrifice, and whichever one is successful
is the one
they
go
with. There are multiples of successes, great. But as long as there is a sacrifice, here are the rules for yours.
So that brings into a good question the conspiracy behind this movie that does not really get a lot of attention, but if you're watching it, because I watched this movie, I think 2 or 3 times this week, just because I love it so much.
I'm so glad you did.
All of these things that happen, we see on a camera, like there's TV screens of like Peru and Japan and all these different cities that have failed. It says aborted or failure or whatever. What is happening across the globe that's causing all these people to fail? And then eventually when they found out in this version, in the movie, they say, oh, we got some directive from upstairs that told us not to blow the bridge. And there's something going on. And they're like, what the hell just happened? Like, what's the conspiracy? Who is causing all of it to fail?
It's the conspiracy inside the conspiracy.
Yeah.
And it's the ancient ones have said, we have been asleep for long enough.
Know, for as long, many times as you guys have watched this movie, I'm surprised that you haven't figured out.
Oh,
this.
Here
Bro.
Goes Kadish with his I know everything. Why don't you fucking enlighten everyone?
Yes, please enlighten us.
Is it fascinating?
No, drink.
Jeez.
So they actually explain it in the movie. The directive from upstairs,
mm-hmm.
basically when Marty escaped and killed that zombie.
That's our fool.
And he found the elevator shaft going down into the underground bunker that, mm-hmm. you know, the organization is in. He started futzing around with the control panel, the electrical panel up there. And that caused a short that prevented the people who blow the bridge from getting the message.
No, that happened after.
No, that's what happened. And he figures it out after he blew the bridge, the older guy. And because we go from that revelation to him, to us seeing Marty futzing with the electrical panel up there. And Marty's drugs, like his weed, prevented the drugs that that normally affect people from affecting him. And so
that they were pumping in.
Yeah. And so he was an outlier who didn't do what he was supposed to. And it was because of him that everyone else got knocked off track with this particular situation. So it wasn't a grand conspiracy. It was just like Marty was the one messing everything up.
Okay. So the other countries that had failed, that wasn't because of some big overarching.
At the beginning of the movie, they always talk about how the other organizations always like screw up, and it's the USA and Japan who are the best, and Japan is always number one. And so, like the USA guys, they're kind of blowing off the chemist girl by saying like, well, if we don't make it, Japan always pulls through. So they kind of set that up early on, and then when Japan fails, and they realize that they're the ones that have to do this, they think they have it in the bag, but again, Marty screwed it up for them.
Okay. I knew Marty had something to do with like the elevators and him messing with the wires and stuff, but I kind of like was in my head canon going, oh, there's something bigger happening with like across the globe, everybody's failing, and it's all like somebody out there is trying to bring the ancients back.
Yeah.
That's kind of what my brain was saying.
I like that better.
I like it better too.
Let's go with that.
Well, you guys want to hear a fun fact?
Yeah, go for it.
Please. Yes, Matthew, please tell us a fun fact.
All right. So, you know, Fran Katz, is that how you pronounce his name? Okay. So
I think.
He's the guy who plays Marty. And there's a scene in this movie where the whole group goes down to the lake to go swimming. And, you know, you have like Chris Hemsworth and you have this other guy from,
Grey's Anatomy?
Grey's Anatomy. And they're all like good looking cut guys. And you have like Fran Katz there, just like kind of like hunched over.
The skinny stonery guy. Yeah.
Yeah. So he's in his robes and like he's all covered up and he's like hunched over. And he was actually in better shape than either guy. So
really?
He was like so cut at that point that like he would make Hemsworth look bad.
What?
So they had to have him cover up and not go into the lake because he was like so jacked and like had like 2% body fat.
No shit.
That guy looks good. Yeah,
this is pre-Thor, dude.
He's in one of Joss Whedon's.
He's in Dollhouse.
And he plays a scientist, but his clothes are so tight the whole like series. And it's just like, God, I see your muscles. He's like, I'm just doing science things, being sciencey, flex and things into the microscope. And
there were a lot of Joss Whedon regulars in this movie.
Yeah, there were Amy Adams. Mm-hmm. She was an Angel. Fran Katz. He was in Dollhouse.
Amy Adams is the redhead.
She's the scientist girl who's like, hey, you guys, okay. Stockholm, and blah blah blah, and you shouldn't be taking bets, but here's my money.
It's Amy Acker.
Yeah, I was going to say, Amy Adams is Lois Lane. All right, so Vader, I know it's your first watch. When was the moment where you were like, oh, I'm freaking in, this is dope?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. Man, I just enjoyed, I hate it when you ask me these fucking questions, what my favorite point is, because I really enjoyed this whole movie.
Yeah, but because you didn't know what you were getting into. Yeah. So when did that moment? Because you texted us, you were like, "Dude, this movie's freaking bonkers!"
It's bonkers.
At what point did you go, "This movie's bonkers"?
I think
bonkers.
That was probably about the time the zombie family showed up.
Oh, okay. Wow.
Yeah.
So you were well into the movie then.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I was like, "There's so much stuff going on here." You know what I mean? Yeah. It's like it's a horror movie, but
it's also a comedy.
It's a comedy, and it's I didn't watch this as a horror movie once it got going. It almost felt like a weird kind of, I don't even know what the genre would be, because it was just
like
so,
a fictional reality show.
Yeah. It was such a weird movie to me. Yeah. I don't know. It was just so out there and crazy that I just enjoyed it for what it was, you know, because it's not like these other two movies. I mean, these other two movies kind of make fun of this whole genre.
Yeah.
But in different ways, you know, and this thing was just so in the stratosphere with the way they went with the old gods and everything. And it was wild. It was just a trip.
That end where the freaking giant hand,
you know,
comes
when they're going through the elevator and you're seeing all the different options of ways they could have been killed with all the different creatures and everything. It's just like, it was wild.
I love the little tricks that they play to make them, you know, like for instance, the girl who dyed her hair blonde, and they reveal that there's like a cognitive impairment chemical in her hair dyes to make her the dumb blonde.
Yeah, they've chosen this group of people to be their sacrifice.
Yeah.
For like before they got to this cabin, obviously, because this is not so and so's cousin's cabin. This is all a ploy.
Yeah.
And so they've been
he doesn't even have a cousin.
they've been working on these people for who knows how long to get them to this position.
Well, they're probably a year. Like after the sacrifice happens, they have a year to plan the next one.
Plus Damon was like, but I'm not a virgin. And Sigourney Weaver was like, well, we take what we can get.
Yeah, we work with what we have.
Jude, what's your favorite moment in this movie?
Oh gosh. I genuinely love this whole movie, but I think we haven't talked about one of the key players, which is the Harbinger.
Okay, really? You like him?
He's so funny.
He's the gas station.
Yeah, and we have this in all three movies that we're going to watch today. Is like the creepy gas station guy.
Gas station guy. That is so true.
He's a staple of all of these movies. So in this one, his name is Mordecai. He's played by Tim Dizon, something like that. And he's just very like taking his role very seriously. And he is the Harbinger.
Yeah.
And he's like, you are a whore.
Those with no eyes shall see.
You will die in a flame of glory. Like, he's very serious about his role.
Well, he's part of the ritual. So, like, part of his ritual is that he has to warn the sacrifices and they have to choose to ignore him.
Yeah. Like,
and, was it Marty almost screwed it up by saying, like, yeah, maybe we should just go home? And he calls up, you know, Mordecai calls up the guys downstairs to warn them that something's wrong. Uh-huh. And just like the sacrifice, the guys downstairs just like laugh him off and ignore him.
They do this whole thing with him.
On the speakerphone.
Yeah. So first of all, so the Harbinger takes his role very seriously. And he's like, it's like he is a, what's it called when you're in like not reading lines, but you're
ad-libbing.
Ad-libbing. Thank you. It's like he's ad-libbing the role of this play. Mm-hmm. And like Marty throws him off, but he's like, I'm a very important person in this.
Yeah,
I'm a key player. So he tries to like call
the head office guys
upstairs.
Yeah,
or technically downstairs. And they're just like laughing him off, and they keep putting him on speaker. And he's like, I am the Hobbit. And he's still in his role. And then all of a sudden, he's like,
am I on speakerphone?
That's so rude.
That was pretty funny.
Yeah. Well, oh my gosh.
Get me off the speakerphone.
That was a great bit.
Yeah. And like, Wilford Bradley and I forget his other name, Richard Jenkins?
Bradley Whitford and Jesse Williams.
Sorry.
We're very drunk.
I'm sorry. Yes. You're right. Richard Jenkins.
Bradley Whitford and Richard Jenkins. Yeah. And they're just laughing it off. Yeah. They're like, oh my God, this guy's such a joke. And I just,
he
ended up being right. And he's just like such a small part of this, but he's pivotal. And he's in all three movies, which not the actor, but the character.
I was going to say. Yeah. All right.
Yeah. The archetype of the gas station attendant.
The archetype of the creepy gas station attendant is throughout every cabin movie.
Mm-hmm. You also pointed out Tom Link, who plays Ronald the intern. He was from Buffy as well.
Yeah.
So, Kadish, what is your favorite part of this movie?
When Chris Hemsworth dies.
Oh yeah.
So there's this great moment where like he's about to jump this chasm on a bike in order to drive to town and get help. It's a big hero moment. He does this like big jump, and then he just like runs into this invisible wall and just like tumbles down, and like they keep with him for like a really long time.
And that was
just
the best part of that. Yeah. And it's like when all of the characters realize like we're basically on a reality show.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like, but you know, it was such a hero moment, and then they just undercut it. Mm-hmm. And it was funny. Like where you're just like laughing as like this character's like dying, like falling down this.
And I love how they built it up too. They were like, he was like, I'm gonna get help.
Yeah.
And I can.
I've jumped this far before.
Yeah, I've jumped further before.
Yeah.
And he's like, and they've set it up. Like they've had the motorcycle on the back of the Rambler the whole trip.
And they set it up with the very, very early on with the bird that flew into that same shield.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Right next to the tunnel.
And they don't know they're in a fucking Hunger Games.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he's like, I'm going to do it. I'm going to go get help and I'm going to rescue you guys.
He jumps off and just,
it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay moment.
Yeah.
And it's just,
It's when the shark ate Samuel L. Jackson.
Yeah.
It just totally killed off the main hero guy.
Very much.
I think they deserve to die, and I hope they burn in hell.
What's up?
I think I know what my favorite moment of the movie is.
Go ahead.
It's when they go down in the elevators, right? And all the elevators open, and they just start murdering everybody.
Yeah, when they hit the big red button.
Yeah,
and all the monsters come out,
and everything just gets destroyed.
Yeah, that's when shit really hits the fan.
Blood everywhere. I think that's my favorite part.
Yeah. Yeah,
I have a second favorite part.
Go ahead.
When what's his name? Wilford Bradley? No, it's not. That's
Bradley
not
Whitford.
Bradley Whitford.
Oh, with the merman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When he finally meets the merman,
and he's like, "Oh, you gotta be kidding me!"
All he ever wanted was to see a merman kill someone, and it turns out
it was him.
That merman is gonna kill him, and he's like, "Fuck!"
and all the blood shoots from his blowhole. Yeah. And you get the idea. It's like, oh, it takes forever to clean up after that thing.
That merman's blowhole was magnificent. It was, dare I say, fascinating.
Oh, jeez. I gotta go pee.
Same.
All right. My favorite moment, this is super goofy, but it's actually when they're in the elevator and they're realizing like there's other elevators with glass doors and shit and they're seeing all these different villains.
The cubes?
Yeah, the cube thing. I love the freaking werewolf in this movie.
Oh, yeah,
That thing is
That's a good looking werewolf.
That is a badass werewolf. Yeah.
Werewolves are not done good, generally.
Generally speaking, they're
When you see a good-looking fucking werewolf,
that's... When I saw that thing, I was like, where's that movie? I want to see that movie.
Spot on.
Badass werewolf.
Spot on, dude.
That's my favorite part of the movie. So, also, the elevator scene where they all come out and everything gets destroyed. That's really, really cool.
That was very Hellraiser for me.
Yeah, very
with
Hellraiser.
The cubes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wanted to ask you guys what you thought of the ending of this movie.
With the gods that come out?
Oh, it was great.
Well, basically, humanity gets wiped out by these elder gods because two people refuse to kill themselves save all of humanity.
I love it when a movie
has the balls to
not have a happy ending. It was great. I loved it. It's like, oh, this big giant hand comes out of the ground. It was great.
The last 2 years have probably changed my opinion on this, but humanity's
we don't deserve to be around.
just done. Just have the gods come out and wipe everybody out.
Yeah, I agree with both of you. I love it when a movie will do that to me and make me be like, oh, here's where it's going. Our hero has to like survive. And when the movie subverts my expectations and doesn't take me there, it's enjoyable. It's fun
when it's
done right.
Yeah.
But also at the same time, I love it when a movie makes me torn. Like that being said, like I enjoyed where it took me, but also at the same time, I was like, oh, but fuck, shit, oh god, like all of humanity is dying now because you wouldn't kill that stoner.
Yeah. That's it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm all for
it. And they got to see it all come to an end.
Yep.
What did you think?
I always hated the ending.
Of course.
People have asked Drew Goddard, like, oh, can we ever expect a sequel to this movie? He's like, did you see the ending of the first movie?
Yeah.
Like, all of humanity dies.
We don't want to see them trying to, like, navigate the ancient ones. No, it's done.
What I would like to see is a prequel.
Yeah, hell yeah.
I'm down for a prequel. Because, I mean, the gag is kind of up already because we already know what's going on. But if it kind of play on that, like, Office Space style.
I think it'd make a great TV show where, like, it would follow around the office end of things.
Yes.
Wow, yeah.
Behind the scenes.
I would watch that.
Yeah, behind the scenes in every episode is like, well, next year this is going to be it. The planning of who they're going to pick. Like, there's a lot of material there to work with.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff they could do.
All right. We haven't done ratings. Vader, give it a rating.
I'm going to go solid 3.5.
That's it. Wow. Okay. I was expecting more.
3.5. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I enjoyed this one. I try to be a little stingy with
3.5. What?
I don't know. Bloodlettings. Nice.
Okay.
Machetes.
Jude, how about you?
I love this movie. I watch it at least once a year. Joss Whedon or not, this is a great movie. So whether you're a fan or not, I am. That's not why I watch it. It just happens to be both a good movie and from the mind of Joss Whedon. So I give it a very solid 4 zombie redneck torture-worshipping family.
There you go.
out of five.
Nice.
Wait, are there boobs in this? I don't remember.
Yes.
Yes.
That was the whole, sort of. There was a whole sequence about that.
The blonde chick with the
boobs. Blonde chick, remember? Like, oh, she's going to take her shirt off. And they're like, your basic human needs disgust me.
Right. No, yeah. Okay, half star for boobs.
So
four.
Yeah. Four star for you. Okay. Nice. Yeah. Kadish?
This is a solid 3 wolf head makeouts out of 5 for me. It is a very good movie. I really enjoy this film and everyone should watch it.
Yeah, it's 4 werewolves for me. 4 good werewolves for me. This is a great movie. I truly enjoy it. I don't know if I'm on the same page as like a once a year watch, but it's definitely in my rotation of like,
I'm a horror movie person.
Yeah. Yeah. This is the movie that I'm like, if I were to watch horror movies, I'm going to watch it through this lens.
You're going to watch this movie with your son when he turns 15, 16?
It's a little sexy for them. I don't see him being comfortable with that.
I don't know. That would be weird.
Would it be weird?
I don't know. He hasn't gotten to that age yet, so I'm not sure.
Yeah, okay.
We'll see. I got another 7 years to go. All right. That's it for Cabin in the Woods. Stay tuned. We'll be right back after a message from the sponsors, and then we're going to talk about Cabin Fever.
Ooh.
American corn farmers. A proud and chosen profession inspired through generations. Tested, resilient, and committed to giving back as much as they're growing. Pushing the boundaries of what's possible with every bushel, while replenishing every increasingly precious resource, like the reduction of soil loss by 40% with every acre grown. In a world where sustainability matters more than ever, we need all the help we can get. And there's no greater resource than the capable hands of American corn farmers.
Planning on traveling this summer? Make saving at the pump part of your plans with 2x the fuel points from Harris Teeter. It's easy. Download your eVic coupon, and for every dollar you spend with your Vic card, you'll get 2 fuel points. That's up to $1 per gallon on quality fuel at participating BP and Harris Teeter fuel centers. Download your eVic coupon today and save money at the pump all summer long with eVic and Harris Teeter fuel points.
Mary redeemed a $50,000 cash prize playing Chumba Casino online.
I was only playing for fun, so winning was a dream come true.
Chumba Casino is America's favorite free online social casino. You too could have the chance to win life-changing cash prizes. Absolutely anybody could be like Mary. Be like Mary. Log on to ChumbaCasino.com and play for free now. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details. The voice in the preceding commercial was not the actual voice of the winner.
Welcome back, everybody. Hey, if you would like to support the podcast and get some awesome swag in return, like this awesome shirt that we have on right now, underneath my freaking hillbilly cutoff sleeve shirt, you can go to saltynerdstore.com. There we have all of our designs accessible to you through our store. You can get stickers and magnets and all kinds of other cool stuff, but our shirts are where it's at. There's tons of different options, colors, sizes, all kinds of really cool stuff, and we love our store. So go over there and check out some of the designs. They're both made by me and Mr. Kadish over here. We're the ones who are putting those designs out. So if you like them, let us know. And if you do buy something from us, let us know and take a picture of it. And we will absolutely share it out there on the social medias. And we'd love to hear from you guys.
Yeah.
So that's
we need more people to do that.
Yeah. Because I got a couple of messages from some people saying that they bought some stuff. And I'm like, send me a pic so that we can share it out there and shout you out. Okay. Yeah. SaltyNerdStore.com. Go there. Next movie on our list today is Cabin in the Woods.
No.
Cabin Fever. Sorry.
Cabin Fever.
Cabin Fever.
Jude, do you want to do Cabin in the Woods again?
Yes. Cabin Fever, Jude. Take it away. What is this movie all about?
All right. 2002, Cabin Fever, rated R with a runtime of 1 hour 33 minutes. This had a budget of $1.5 cute little million dollars.
Aw, that's adorable.
What do you think this brought into the box office worldwide?
I don't know. $8 million. I don't know.
I'm going to go 20.
30.
Nice. Okay.
$30 million.
Wow. That's a huge profit.
Do you want to know what it's about?
Sure.
All right.
About the same thing that the last movie was about.
Kind of.
Shocker. 5 complete assholes.
Well, the blonde chick really wasn't, right?
Go on vacation in a secluded cabin, and everything's fine until a gross hobo tries to join in on the squirrel shooting fun. Bert, a real man who's hetero as fuck, sets him straight, pun intended, and shoots the hobo It's totally fine. He doesn't kill him. In fact, he comes banging on the cabin door later for help. And like, ew, he's even grosser than before. He barfs blood all over their truck. So what are they supposed to do? Obviously, set him on fire. And you guys, who knew hobos were like super flammable? He runs off into the forest and eventually dies either before or after he falls into the town's water supply. I don't know. Then the hijinks really ensue. Thank God they all agreed to drink only beer this weekend. But oh wait, that bathwater is totes flesh-eating diseasey.
I hate this movie.
It's terrible.
I freaking hate this movie.
It's so bad.
Oh, look, man. This movie was like the worst of the three.
Of course.
Yes.
But it had the best hillbillies. All right. Facts. The hillbillies in this were legit, bro. It's like that fucking kid. It's like, don't sit near
Abigail or whatever the hell her name is.
He'll just fucking bite your ass.
He's got that weird fucking bangs mullet.
It was Dennis. What? Pancake Dennis.
I thought it was a chick. I thought it was a girl.
I don't know, dude.
No. Oh, God.
Pancakes.
He was so
cool.
He was so fucking, he was going to bite you.
That kid bit everyone.
Yeah, literally everybody that walked in, they're like,
it's like, don't sit next to Dennis. And it's like, it'll just bite you. It'll just bite you.
So stupid.
All of these people were so aggressively tropey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But just
like, man, you guys don't know. I knew every one of those people from growing up.
Yeah.
Up in Southern, every single one of them. It's weird. I was flashing back.
The gun safety thing pissed me off. When he's like, oh, just shooting some squirrels, not even loaded. And then he pulls the trigger and it blows. I'm like, just God.
It was a BB gun, but it wasn't.
Yeah.
No,
yeah,
that
no.
was not a BB gun.
No.
He destroys his own truck.
Ugh.
He shoots a hobo. He almost sets fire to the woods before he actually sets fire to the woods via hobo. I hate that guy.
You're talking about dipshit, right?
Yeah, dipshit. The dipshit. That's a great name.
I didn't like that guy.
Dipshit, I didn't like anybody in this movie. No. There was nobody in this movie I was
there really
rooting
wasn't,
for.
Right?
I was like, let them all die.
Yeah.
Every single one.
Yeah. I kind of like the cute blonde girl. But, you know.
She was just a dumb blonde girl. Yeah, she was along for the ride. And of course, she got the plague and died.
Did you notice that the blonde guy, who was played by Joey Kern, is the same actor from Bloodsucking Bastards.
Yes, another Bloodsucking Bastards actor.
You know who I really like? My favorite character was the sheriff kid.
Yes.
Hey. Party boy deputy.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, man.
Let's go. You want a party?
You
want
to go party?
We're going to get so fucked up. We're going to fuck so many.
when he calls his boss and he's like, hey, man, I'm still looking for that that party that we heard about over
that college kid beer party.
God, you're so cute.
Yeah.
Damn. But you got some nice little titties underneath.
Yeah.
Yeah, this movie was awful.
It's terrible.
The only redeeming part was the brunette chick who was like, when you're about ready to die, have you ever thought about just totally screwing the guy next to you just before you die or whatever? And then
you're going to die.
But yeah. And then they go through the little sex scene. I'm like, okay, that was a decent sex scene. The rest of the movie was trash.
But then she's like, I'm going to die.
Oh, yeah.
Bitch. Yeah.
It was just awful.
You're in a horror movie and you're in a cabin.
And how bad?
Like, honestly, I know I rented a cabin a couple of weeks ago, but had someone told me, like, bitch, you're in a cabin, you're going to die, I would have been like, oh, fuck, that's fair.
Yeah, that's fair.
I don't know.
This movie is aggressively bad.
It's aggressively bad.
Kadesh, what did you think about this movie?
I've had a long-standing hatred of this
film.
I never liked this movie.
So, I can remember this movie came out the year after I graduated from film school, and everyone was just like going crazy over this movie. Because at the time, it was like very edgy, like no one had ever seen anything like it before. Peter Jackson was obsessed with this movie because, you know, he has his background in horror movies.
He has bad taste.
He would actually screen this movie for the crew of the Lord of the Rings film that he was filming at the time because
That's
he
abuse.
Loved it so much. David Lynch was like a weird.
Oh, that fucking guy. I bet he likes it.
Well, no, he was like a producer on it. Like he eventually had his name removed from the credits, but he had some involvement that was responsible for getting this movie made. And I think it had to do with like finding some financing.
He was like, That dude's the whole time. He's such a weirdo.
He's a weirdo.
But this was Eli Roth's first movie. Yes, it was. And he basically wrote this when he was a PA on Private Parts, the Howard Stern movie. And it was based around something that happened to him when he was like an intern at like a at a farm.
He got them flesh-eatings.
He got a flesh-eating disease, and it was, well, I don't know if it was a flesh-eating disease, but he got something where he got boils on his face, like sores, open sores.
I've seen his face. That face is perfect.
And when he was shaving one day, like it was like scraping the skin off when it was going over the boils, and he was like, oh, what if like this was like a flesh-eating disease and I was trapped somewhere? And that's where the leg-shaving scene came from.
That's the worst scene.
That was, yeah.
It was. It was the worst. I go, oh, God, she's going to shave her leg
off. It's worse than the scene where our main hero kills our main heroine with a rock.
But what's interesting is that none of the characters in this film actually die from the flesh-eating disease, at least none of the main characters. Mm-hmm. This movie, so like I avoided watching it for the longest time because like I just, the leg shaving scene just totally turned me off to wanting to see this film.
It didn't make you hungry?
No, but when I finally did watch this movie, I was just like, this is the dumbest freaking movie.
It's terrible.
Yeah.
You know that there's a scene, there's a scene in this movie where the guy from Boy Meets World,
Sean
Ryder Strong,
yeah,
is with the blonde girl in a lake, and they end up kissing.
That's where I seen that kid.
Yeah, Boy Meets World.
All right, yeah, that was the kid. That was a show my girls watched.
Mm-hmm. But
yeah.
I watched that a lot too.
I was trying to like remember, where is this kid from? I've seen this dude on something, but like
So he kisses the blonde girl, and then she like jumps in the lake, and he's like, so what is this now? Are we dating now? And she's like, don't be gay. And I was like, that's like the exact opposite.
That was the dumbest friend zoning moment ever. Oh, it was God. So stupid.
There's so much of that too.
And that creepy scene where like they're in bed and he's like trying to like finger her and get sexy and like she's all like sick and gross and stuff.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And she knew she was sick before even any of that happened. Like,
yeah, and he puts.
But also, it was very rapey.
Yeah, it was creepy. She was like, "Hey, come snuggle because I don't like I'm sad."
And he gets all like worked up.
And like he starts fingering her,
and then he takes his hand out, and it's like all bloody.
And that turns out there's blood everywhere.
Oh, it's gross.
I was like, "Listen, I'm a girl, and if I have like a flesh eating disease ruining that part of me, I'm not down for a snuggle."
No.
It was so stupid. God, I hate this movie.
It's terrible.
And all the main characters are assholes.
Yes.
Yeah, they really are.
Like
every
I said,
not likable at all.
I wasn't rooting for anybody in this
Even
movie.
The people that were right were terrible.
Even like, the hillbillies were jackasses. Yeah.
And even the guy at the end, the guy from Bloodsucking Bastards, mm-hmm. I forget who he was, but I forget what his name was, but he was like the boyfriend of one of the girls.
Yeah.
And like, he's our like last remaining survivor because he was like a germaphobe. And he was like walking around with like his shirt over his face and like a scarf over his face or whatever. And he was like, I don't want to get it. I don't want to get it. I don't want to get it. And early on, they make a bet that we're all going to just drink beer and who can last the longest on just beer alone. Well, he won. And then he goes back to the cabin and everyone's dead except for him. And he's like, ha ha ha. I made it.
Yeah.
He has this very triumphant, like, I have survived moment. And he walks out of the cabin and he just gets shot to shit by the sheriff's department because they have realized that there's a flesh-eating disease.
Well, Joey Curran, the actor who played that character, his name was Jeff. Fun fact.
Here we go.
During the filming of this movie, which lasted like 28 days, he kept injuring his eye, one of his eyes, like just unrelated to the production. Like he just kept like fucking his eye up and he'd have to go to the hospital and they'd have to figure out how to shoot around him. That's why like he fucks off for like the last
half
act
the movie.
Of the
movie. Yeah.
because like he was just at the hospital getting his eye tended to.
Didn't he keep getting like debris in his eye or something?
That's weird.
Yeah. That I remember weird. Reading that.
On an unrelated note, I would totally go camping in this area.
No.
Yeah. It looked like a nice spot.
Yeah, you would.
It's like I looked at the cabin. I'm like, I'd stay there.
You gonna
you're such a weirdo.
Drink that spring water?
No. That was the dumbest freaking explanation for what was going on in the first place. But
yeah, where did it come from originally? Where did the hobo get it?
Well, he got it from the dog, which was somehow like ripped open from something.
And he didn't realize that. He was like, "Hey, puppy,
Oh yeah.
Why are
obviously
you
dead
the,
dog?
The dog is like eviscerated. Yeah. I knew that dog was dead, and it's not my dog.
What's the matter, Skippy? And then he like opens it up, and the cavity like spits in his eye. It was just stupid. The whole movie is dumb. I hate this movie.
Yeah. Hostel's better.
I like some of the practical effects and stuff that they did on the
movie. Sure, yeah.
Not bad.
You know, with the fate, the girl with her face all eaten off.
Oh, yeah, and all her teeth are like sticking out.
Yeah.
That freaked me out. I had a thing about teeth.
You know, the blood all over and the skin lesions. Mm-hmm. They all had their little carry moment. And, you know, I appreciated that.
I kind of appreciated the amount of blood, like, in the cabin, too, because, like, I think a lot of horror movies are, like, quick to clean up or not debris a set and like not speaking like with authority on it, but like if you murder someone or if someone gets murdered near you, like there's fucking DNA everywhere, and I kind of appreciated the fact that like when they panned back
it was just
and he was like, oh, now that I'm looking at this room, like there's fucking blood everywhere.
I
like how the woodsman, the bum dude, like went in their truck and just barfed blood everywhere.
So gross.
I'm like, oh man, that was gnarly. It was gross. But I'm like, oh man, they're really going to it in this movie. I appreciated that, you know. And it's just like, and then when they tried to like clean it up, it was still like this stuff everywhere.
Yeah.
That was good. I like
one of the things that I wanted to talk about this that irritated me for this movie. Like every single time someone got infected with this flesh eating disease, the first thing they did was try to aggressively like get help me. Yeah. I'm gonna get in your face. I need help right now. And like as a person who's not infected, they were like, whoa, stand back and I'll fucking help you. But like as soon as they got infected, they were like, I need to be right here.
Yeah.
You know what they really needed was they needed some masks.
Yeah.
They really needed some masks to wear.
Social distancing.
Distancing. Suddenly you're not an anti-mask. You're not anti-mask now?
I hate you people so much.
if only there were a vaccine.
I know, right?
Vaccine.
Yeah, that's funny.
Make sure
you wear your little mask.
Let's maybe do final thoughts.
Hold on. So one of my pet peeves in watching movies is when directors show up and act in their own films.
Oh.
And, you know, Hitchcock's the only one who ever did it right because he just like kind of walk on, he wouldn't say anything. And like, it's almost like a Where's Waldo type thing with him. But, directors like M. Night Shyamalan, who like actually like show up and act in their movies.
And just,
it drives me crazy.
What about, Taika Waititi?
Well, he's a good actor.
He kind of is though. Yeah.
We'll allow it.
Yeah.
Those are TV shows.
Taika Waititi gets a pass.
He's a director / actor.
Oh, okay.
It's not the same thing.
But Eli Roth shows up in this movie not once, but twice. He's as two different characters. But what was interesting about that is that, so first of all, Eli Roth wanted to originally play Party Boy Deputy. But the actor who came in and auditioned for that role was so good. Yeah, Eli was like, I can't play this role. This guy's got to play this role. And so originally, Michael Rosenbaum, who had played Lex Luthor in Smallville, was set to play Grimm, the character Grimm, who just kind of like shows up out of nowhere. He's got weed.
Weed guy.
Yeah. And for whatever reason, he had a schedule conflict, couldn't make it. And so Eli Roth had to act in that part.
Oh, that was Eli Roth?
That was Eli Roth.
Oh, okay, cool.
Because like he didn't have time to cast anyone else. So I can forgive that one. But playing the bowling alley killer, which was based on a real like event, I thought was kind of weird because like you see him when they're telling the campfire story and then like you see Grimm and it's obviously the same guy.
It's already such a weird story. It doesn't really detract from it.
What was your least favorite scene?
Oh,
I mean, I know.
The leg shaving scene.
That was the only thing that felt horror movie-ish to me in this thing was the leg shaving scene. So like that would be like if you're judging this based off of like Cabin in the Woods movies, creepy horror stuff, the leg shaving scene sold it.
Okay.
My least favorite, I think, it's got to be the introduction to the like random nomad hobo guy in the freaking woods who like talks to this dead dog for a second. Like that whole explanation of where this whole thing came from, I was just so stupid. I hated the kid on the bench who was like biting people for no reason. Yeah. Like, why is he on the freaking front porch of your gas station?
That kid didn't need to be there at all.
Well, yeah. What was funny about Dennis is so like they cast him because he looked weird, but the kid was actually like a Taekwondo master. And so in between setups, he'd be like practicing his like, you know, martial arts.
Is that where the slow-mo Taekwondo
and Eli Roth was like, holy shit, you can do that stuff? I got to put it in the movie. And so that's where like all like the pancake scene came.
Oh God, that was so weird.
Super weird.
My least favorite scene was when the dude found the hobo guy's rotting corpse in the lake.
Oh, and he fell in.
And he fell
like
in.
Like a dumbass.
That just... Oh, it's just,
I'm going to climb down this like, man, ladder to get close so to
can,
poke it.
So I can poke it.
It was really dumb. But man, let me tell you something. I hate dark water.
Yeah,
I know you do.
I hate deep water. That just like, I would have died. I would have died. I just would have had a heart attack and died. I would have drowned.
Just sunk to the bottom.
Yeah.
Dead.
Yeah. Mm. It gives me, that was worse. That gave me more tension, more anxiety than her shaving her legs by far.
Okay.
Yeah, it was just, yeah.
Jude, what about you?
Oh, I hate that leg shaving scene.
Yeah.
And not because it's gross, because I don't care if things are gross, but just because it made no fucking sense. Like, I'm a girl who shaves her legs and I go on vacation and I bring a razor with me just in case. But like if my boyfriend fucked off to the wilderness and I've already fucked the other guy, I'm not going to go take a bath and be like, ew, let me make sure these are smooth while I'm obviously struggling with a flesh eating disease.
Yeah.
And then she's like, the whole scene where the razor is coming up on her flesh eating disease. And she's like, fuck you. Just fuck you. I hate it. So stupid. Doesn't make sense. Nobody would act like that.
Kadesh, what's your least favorite scene in this movie?
Other than the lake shaving scene? Probably the scene where they're like trying to like get the hobo out of their car and they're like shooting it and like bashing their own car.
And they ruin their own car.
And setting it on fire. And I'm just like, guys, just... you know, wait for him to get out of the car. You know, like it was so like everyone in this movie acts so dumb.
Yes.
And everyone's an asshole.
Yes.
And then like you have this ending where they're exporting the spring water as drinking water. And so everyone's going to get this flesh eating disease eventually. And I mean, like, because of my experience at film school where everyone was like going crazy over this movie and I eventually saw it and said like, this movie's a piece of shit. I have a certain amount of loathing for this movie and I don't like to watch it. And when we agreed to watch it for this week, this was the movie I was dreading watching.
Me too.
And I just hate it.
I've never liked this movie.
I don't like Eli Roth. I don't like any of his movies. The only thing that I've seen him in that I liked was Inglourious Basterds, but that's because it was a Tarantino film. So this whole movie, everything about it just turns me off and I don't like it.
Even the pig lady?
Oh, especially the pig lady. The only good thing is the brunette who takes her top off in this movie. Mm. That's the only redeeming part.
Half star.
Half star for boobs.
Half star for boobs.
You got to do it. I do like Eli Roth. I love Hostel. I've met Eli Roth. He's very nice. His skin is very nice. And I like him. And so I've never liked this movie. So for me saying like I am a fan of Eli Roth. I like his content, but I hate this movie. This is his first movie, and I will allow like the whole...
This movie put him on the map, though.
I don't know why, because it's so bad.
Well, it was Lionsgate's highest grossing film up until The Hunger Games, I think.
They
got it for a steal. And then it made like a ton of money.
I feel like this is one of those Hunger Game things where they just like tell you what to like and what to root for.
I can see why horror movie fans.
I can't.
Would like.
There's better horror movies out there.
Oh yeah, for sure.
It's so like just the fact that everyone acts like an asshole and doesn't act like a human being would act. It's just so infuriating. Yeah. Like as a horror movie person, you put yourself in these movies and you're like, ooh, if that happened, I'd not do that. whole time with this movie.
Yeah.
Was there any redeeming character in this entire movie?
No, everybody was a dick.
Not even
old Santa Claus looking
grandpa. Oh, he was funny. at the very end when he was like talking to the black guys.
What's up, my brother?
What's up, my brother? How you doing?
Inward.
Yeah, yeah. You know, that was hilarious. And it didn't fit in this movie. I was like, where did this black like come from? Freaking post credit scene.
It came out of nowhere just for the sake of Eli Roth wanting to put an N-word in the movie.
Sure, I guess. So,
well, it was a payoff to the beginning where the girl asked him about the gun. He's like, oh, that's for the, you know, the word we can't say.
Or we really will get removed.
Yeah.
All right. So that's it for Cabin in the Woods. Rating, Vader, what do you got?
1.5 stars.
Okay.
Half star for boobs. Otherwise, it was right there.
Yeah.
I might be able to go with 2, but I'm sticking with 1.5.
Okay. Jude?
I'm going to go with 1. It didn't make me angry, but if I have to watch it again, I might be. Okay. So 1 flesh-eating disease out of 5.
Okay. Kadesh?
To me, this is a 1-star crap fest. I never want to watch this movie again. So,
yep.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah, for me, this is my first watch. I've never seen it before. And 1-star crap fest.
Keep it that way.
Hated everybody in the movie.
Don't watch it again.
It was like a 1/2-star movie.
Come on, man. She had some really nice
movies. And then the other half.
She had some nice movies.
Good
so,
bits.
Yeah. It would have been a 1/2-star movie for me because I absolutely loathe this movie. But the 1/2-star extra for the boobs makes it a 1-star crap fest. So congratulations, Eli Roth, whatever they hear.
Eli Roth. You're okay, man.
What's up, bro? Like, I really liked you in that Tarantino movie. Okay, so that's it, guys. We're going to take a quick break real quick. I'm really sorry, guys.
Bear Jew.
The Bear Jew. That was a damn good movie. When are we going to talk about that movie?
What movie?
We need to do a Tarantino.
Inglorious Bastards.
The Bear Jew.
Oh. The Bear Jew. That was his name in that movie.
Yeah, I guess we got to do a Tarantino.
Anyway, sorry. We're going to be right back after a message from these sponsors, and then we're going to talk about our favorite movie, Tucker and Dale versus Evil.
We'll be right back. We cosplayed for it.
American Corn Farmers. A proud and chosen profession inspired through generations. Tested, resilient, and committed to giving back as much as they're growing. Pushing the boundaries of what's possible with every bushel, while replenishing every increasingly precious resource, like the reduction of soil loss by 40% with every acre grown. In a world where sustainability matters more than ever, we need all the help we can get. And there's no greater resource than the capable hands of American corn farmers.
Planning on traveling this summer? Make saving at the pump part of your plans with 2x the fuel points from Harris Teeter. It's easy. Download your eVic coupon, and for every dollar you spend with your Vic card, you'll get 2 fuel points. That's up to $1 per gallon on quality fuel at participating BP and Harris Teeter fuel centers. Download your eVic coupon today and save money at the pump all summer long with eVic and Harris Teeter fuel points.
Mary redeemed a $50,000 cash prize playing Chumba Casino online.
I was only playing for fun, so winning was a dream come true.
Chumba Casino is America's favorite free online social casino. You, too, could have the chance to win life-changing cash prizes. Absolutely anybody could be like Mary. Be like Mary. Log on to ChumbaCasino.com and play for free now. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18-plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details. The voice in the preceding commercial was not the actual voice of the winner.
Okay, let's get into this.
Just protect your bowling fingers.
Oh, God, Dale, can you cut off your bowling fingers?
Don't ruin my synopsis.
Okay.
Oh, man. That's so good.
Welcome back, everybody. We're going to be talking about Tucker and Dale. Before we do, I'd just like to remind everybody, if you want to chat with us on social medias, go to saltynerddiscord.com. There we have a fantastic community. I got a drink if I said that. We have a great community over there.
It's fascinating.
Fascinating. Fantastic. It's all the same. It starts with an F.
You guys.
I'm sorry. We love hanging out and talking with our community over there on Discord, saltynerddiscord.com. You can hang out with us there. Or if you want to go to a Facebook, if that's your app, we also have a Facebook group that you can jump into where Matthew Kadesh is kind of the man behind the curtain on that one. And we'd love to hear from you if you're a fan of the show or whatever. We love talking with our people. So
yeah, so like if you want to talk to us, but you only do Facebook, you'll really be talking to Kadesh.
Yeah, for the most part.
All right, let's get into it. Tucker and Dale versus Evil.
That was a good one. That was nice.
I waited. So I don't know, whatever.
You did not wait.
You went ahead early. I prematurely cracked my can.
You couldn't wait.
You pre-gamed it.
We
you're so messed up right now.
You guys are so fascinating.
Okay. Oh, God damn it.
Oh, she said it. Shit.
Yeah, she said it. She said the F word. All right, take it away, Jude. What is this movie
about?
So if
you're not a patron, on our last patron show, I made the rule that every time these motherfuckers say fascinating, we have to drink. It was fascinating. Oh, she said
it was a fascinating episode.
Oh, damn it.
Stop. My God.
All right.
2010. Tucker and Dale versus Evil. Rated R with a runtime of 1 hour 29 minutes. This had a budget of $5 million. What do you think it's brought into the box?
Oh, shit. It's had to bring in at least 45, 50 million.
Budget of five. What do you think, V?
I'm going to go 40 million.
Okay. Had a budget of $5 million. This brought in $5.7 million.
What? Get out of here.
That's terrible. It's the worst one of the week. The best one of the week.
Oh, my God. It's so fun.
And it's the worst one of the box office.
Listen, if y'all hadn't watched this movie, I don't know what you've been doing. Maybe fishing, which is fine.
We're so drunk.
We're pretty drunk.
So, yeah. Tucker and Dale.
I need to go get me some eggs. Hard-boiled eggs.
Pickled eggs.
Pickled eggs.
Hey, Dale, we need anything else? How about these pickled eggs? 5 gallons.
Fuck, shut up. I'm going to cover it.
Go ahead, Jude. Sorry.
Tucker and Dale are heading to the woods to fix up their new vacation home. Stopping for gas and supplies, pickled eggs. They meet a bunch of suicidal college kids stocking up on beer. That night, they have another run-in when Dale dives into the lake to rescue an unconscious Allison. I can't even control it now. It's just happening. In the morning, when she wakes up, all her friends show up to kill themselves one by one on poor Tucker and Dale's property until Chad decides to kidnap Dale's dog, chop off Tucker's bowling fingers, and set their vacation home on fire before finishing Allison off himself.
Such a good
this
movie.
Is the greatest movie ever made.
It's so good. I had so much fun with this movie.
This movie was so much fun.
Have you ever watched it before, Vader?
Who's first watch? Mm. Everybody's watched it before?
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, so for anyone out there who hasn't watched it, the kind of hook about this show is that Tucker and Dale are the heroes, but typically, they'd be the killers in a horror movie with, like, these college kids who are going into the woods to spend, like, a weekend there. And so, like, these college kids, through just weird random, like, bad luck, keep thinking that Tucker and Dale are doing things to terrorize them when it's actually the college kids who kind of, like, bring it upon themselves.
Yeah.
But Tucker and Dale are like the scapegoats because they're the hillbillies, but they're actually the good guys.
I'll give you an example.
Yeah.
So there's a scene where Tucker and Dale are just, they bought this vacation home sight unseen. They go to this cabin to like check it out. And they're like, we're going to go fishing. We're going to fix up the cabin. And they go and they're like, oh shit, this place is awesome. They got all these cool news clippings of all these old murders. They must be history buffs. And turns out it was like the cabin of like the murderer that had once been. And these college kids are camping over yonder. And Allison falls in the lake. She bumps her head and she's unconscious. And Dale jumps in and saves her. And he's like, hey, college kids.
I got your friend.
And they're like, oh, my God.
They stole our friend.
And so they take off thinking that these hillbillies have, like, stolen their friend and they're up to no good.
Yeah, they're going to kidnap and rape her. And
So the next day, they're like creeping up to the cabin. They've found the cabin. It's obviously the creepiest cabin ever.
Yeah.
Which is like a really nice, luxurious vacation home to Tucker and Dale.
It looks pretty dope.
Like, oh my God, it's perfect. Like it. It's so beautiful. These college kids are like, that's the creepiest shit I've ever seen. Those nefarious
hillbillies.
Hillbillies have got to be in there. So they're like, all right, we're going to go up there. And we're going to like run up with a stick and be like, give us our friend. And one of the guys is like chopping wood and throwing it into a wood chipper. And when he leans down to like get a new log of wood, as he leans down, the college kid comes up behind him running and he's like, give me my friend. And he like trips over
a
Tucker,
rocker.
trips over Tucker and launches himself into the wood chipper. And so Tucker and Dale have decided, like, oh my God, these college kids are killing themselves.
But well, first Tucker grabs his legs and tries to pull them out. But to all the college kids, it looks like he's feeding the kid into the wood chipper.
And the college kids that are still watching are like, oh my God, he put him in the wood chipper.
The wood chipper dies and Tucker's like, are you okay?
And like, poor Tucker and Dale keep seeing these college kids like accidentally kill themselves as they're running up on them and accidentally killing themselves.
Yeah.
They're like, oh my God, they must have a suicide pact and they're trying to kill Allison. So we have to help her.
I love how this kind of all gets started when they're at the gas station, another creepy gas station attendant. Yeah. They walk in and is it Dale? I think it's Dale. He's like, I want to go talk to that girl. And Tucker's like, you just got to do it, man.
I'm so shy and dumb.
And he's like, listen, all you got to do is be confident, walk up, smile and laugh.
And he's like, and he's holding a sickle.
He goes, hey, you guys going camping?
That just guy. Like, I just related to that guy so much.
I love Dale.
Dale is my spirit animal.
Oh my God. He's so smart, but he's like dumb as hell.
I just can't talk to girls, man.
I got this thing with my brain. Like, I remember everything, but I'm like fucking dumb.
I love it, dude.
So, fun fact, Tyler Labine and Alan Tudyk, the people who play Tucker and Dale, they're well known for being like, you know, comedic actors who are really good at improvising.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Alan Tudyk, also a Joss Whedon guy.
And also, so when they took on this movie, you'd think that like, oh, these guys are ad-libbing all this stuff. And they actually did what Norseman did, which is they would ad lib during the table read and they would figure out what was funny and what should be put in the movie. And so like they write that down by the time they got on set, it was just like straight up, you know, like this is what we're going to say.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah.
I love Alan Tudyk in everything.
Yeah.
And he's just so funny in
this. He's a leaf on the wind.
Yeah, he really is. And he's not even like our main character, our main hero. He's like a... He's a comedic sidekick. Yeah, but
he came up with the whole thing about pouring beer on his wounds.
Yes, oh, I loved so it.
Funny. He is the forefront of comedy.
He's got a big old thing of chew in his lip. He's like, man, if you were out there helping me, I wouldn't have gotten into these bees. He's sitting there pouring beer on his freaking bee stings.
That was a great scene because he was sawing through a log with a chainsaw. And he goes through a hornet's nest and the hornets start attacking him, and that's as the kids are walking up, you know, just kind of like, let's talk to these guys, see what's going on. And he comes running out with his chainsaw because he's being attacked by bees, but they can't see that. They just see a redneck with a chainsaw running up.
It's a safety hazard to throw a chainsaw, so you have to just keep running with it as the bees are attacking you. And they think like a guy with a chainsaw is coming after them. Yeah.
This thing takes all the tropes, twists it and turns it on its head and makes you laugh at it. I have so much fun, I love,
on like a filmmaking side, because I know Cage is probably picking this up too, is like when they're going from Tucker and Dale's perspective, everything's very normal. Mm-hmm. The music is normal. The cinematography is normal.
They just love their pickled eggs and fish.
When they switch to the college kids' view, it all of a sudden turns into a freaking horror movie where like the tone is darker and the music is creepier and the angle of the camera is lower just to make things that little extra creepy, just to show the difference between the two perspectives. And I freaking love that about this movie. It's so cool.
So flash forward to the morning after Allison wakes up and she realizes she's not being held by some...
He's got, oh, crazy shit, weirdo. You didn't like pancakes. Yeah. I'm sorry. I should have known.
He's just trying to bring her breakfast and she's like, he's like, oh shit, you hate pancakes? And so she realizes these are just some guys that fucking rescued me when my friends took off. Yeah. And she's waiting for her friends to come back and for this whole misunderstanding to be worked out.
He's like, please don't tell me you don't like bacon and eggs.
So they're like just sitting and chatting. Yeah. She's like, oh, here's what I do at college. And she's like rocking back on her chair.
Oh, no, don't do that.
And he knows that like their cabin is not in good shape.
Yeah.
And he saves her again from injuring herself. And meanwhile, like, she realizes that these are the good guys. Tucker and Dale are the good guys. And they're just like, you know, fishermen.
Yeah.
Who like camp, they're basically Alex.
I have to say that Katrina Bowden, who plays Allison.
Gosh, she's gorgeous. Smoking hot. Yeah, smoking so hot gorgeous. In this freaking movie. I love when she, like, Dale gives her his clothes or something. Like, I didn't have any girl clothes, so I just gave you this. And she, like, comes out later on, and she's freaking smoking hot. Clothes. She, like, ties it up in a nice little knot and, like, folds the pants down. I'm like,
that's a look. I like that look.
Oh, God.
Although this is the only movie we watched this week that didn't have nudity in it.
Yeah, it's still the better movie, though.
Still the best one.
I'd rather look at her and fully clothed than the tits in the last movie. That sounded weird.
Wow. She died for nothing, apparently. It was fascinating.
Oh, God damn it, Jude. All right.
So the twist.
I didn't give a shit about the twist. This movie is great without that.
We're still going to talk about it.
All right, go ahead.
So Chad, one of the college kids.
Of course his name is Chad.
There's a Chad and a Chuck.
Of course.
So Chad... turns out he's crazy, and he's like, Allison, I'm gonna fuck you.
Oh my God, dude.
He's also got an irrational hatred of hillbillies.
Yeah. He's like, oh, what? You don't think that was funny or good naturedly or gentlemanly of me that I was just gonna be like, I'm gonna fuck you.
This is so creepy.
So aggressive and creepy. Yeah. And then she gets kidnapped by the hillbillies, and he's like, these fucking hillbillies.
He was like,
turns out. He's the descendant of hillbillies.
Yeah. So there's this like this so story.
He's the crazy one.
Sorry, PBR. I'm burping. There's this story that he tells about this old like murder, like mass murder that happens with a bunch of college kids from the hillbillies.
And his mom was involved.
And like that's like the history of his family. He's like so like his
I'm gonna tell you a real horror story.
Yeah, his hatred of hillbillies is so deep rooted, but he didn't have the whole story. He had like a twisted version of it. Right. And the real version was actually that his father was the hillbilly that murdered everybody. And that's why he's like a little cuckoo. So as the movie progresses, you realize that the true villain is the college kid. And he goes on this freaking like murdering rampage. And you know,
you can tell because he has that stupid collared shirt.
Oh, the freaking pop collar. Yeah.
Well, also, like, the opening scene of this movie shows him killing a reporter and her cameraman.
Yes. Yeah. But we don't get that. That's like a.
You don't really get that.
You don't get that until the end of the movie, which I'm wondering. Like,
it was, you get that on a second watch.
If it was smart for them to put that in the beginning of the movie, because it didn't mean anything.
I didn't get it on my first.
I didn't either.
Yeah.
I
don't know if I still.
Also, I thought he died at the end of the movie.
Yeah,
that's the other thing too. Is when they threw him out the window and he fell like on all the farm equipment. I thought he died.
Just ignore everything Kadish said. He's ruining horror movies. No, he's here for it.
What did you think about this movie, Kadish?
I liked it. I don't think I liked it as much as you guys did. But
how dare you?
I felt like Cabin in the Woods was the best movie we watched this week.
It's really good, also.
But you know, Tucker and Dale has its charm. In fact. For a while there, they were trying to get a sequel going, which would have put Tucker and Dale in a From Dusk Till Dawn type situation.
Yes!
Oh, that would have been hilarious.
I am here for that!
But apparently,
where can I send my money?
Apparently, it fell through, and they're no longer doing a sequel.
We need to do a Kickstarter. Tucker and Dale versus vampires.
Yeah.
How email awesome would that be? Jude will be in the movie.
Yeah.
So anyway, what did you think about you didn't like it as much as we did, but.
I mean, I think this is an okay movie. It's enjoyable. I like the premise. I like the actors. Fuck
you. You were laughing the whole way through. I watched this with you and you thought it was hilarious.
Well, you watched it because my first watch of this was with you. It wasn't for this week, but it was with you like a year ago or something like that. I'd never seen it before. And I
also watch this every year.
And I was like, oh, this is an enjoyable movie. And, you know, rewatching it, like the jokes land. It's a, you know, it's a charming film. I think it goes on a little bit too long. But, you know, whenever the college kids just like start killing themselves, it's hilarious.
Yeah,
it's really meat good. Of the meat mm-hmm. and potatoes meal.
Yeah. You know, this was a very simple movie. It was low budget. They shot it out in the wilderness in Canada and. It's just a solid film. It's a solid comedy film. I think that, you know, it's become a cult classic, and I really hope that someday they get their crap together and are able to do a sequel to this. But, you know, if not, it stands well on its own, and I just enjoy this movie.
I agree that it's a cult classic. I remember when I heard about this movie, and I was like, Tucker and Dale versus Evil? That sounds weird.
I know,
I'll check it out. And I was just like, oh, my God. why doesn't everyone know
yeah,
about
this? The first time I saw this, I read the title. I think I rented it on Amazon or something.
That sounds dumb.
I think it was like just a marketing thing where this missed the mark because it's so good.
It's really,
that
really good.
If more people had been introduced to it when it first came out, it definitely would have made more money.
Yeah,
because I definitely found its audience on home video.
Yeah, I watched this movie. I rented it, I think, one time. I had no idea what to expect. And I was like, I mean, I saw Alan Tudyk, which I knew him from like Firefly and stuff. I'm like, oh, he's in this movie? Sweet, let's watch it.
Mm-hmm. I think they could do a sequel or whatever to this and keep it low budget like it is this one. And they would make an absolute fortune.
It would kill.
Because this movie's out there in the lexicon now. People mm-hmm. know this movie. They know these characters.
Tucker and Dale? Yeah,
we love this movie, man. Yeah. I mean, it's a modern day kind of
cult classic. I would say it's a cult classic.
What if we had a mashup of Tucker and Dale versus Cabin in the Woods?
If they were the ones, who would they play though? They wouldn't play the sacrifices.
Wilford Bradley, whose name, that's not right.
Bradley Whitford.
And Richard Jenkins.
I don't know.
He doesn't have diabetes.
What did you guys think about that ending where like Dale is with that other hillbilly and he tells him to go talk to a girl and he just ends up knocking the girl out and dragging her away?
Oh my God. In the bowling alley?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He totally Tarzan's her.
Yeah. I would have liked to have seen like Walter from The Big Lebowski at the bowling alley. That would have been great. God, I need
more universes.
Oh my God. Okay. So my favorite moment, I'll just start it off. My favorite moment is when the police officer finally gets in touch with the college kids. The college kids in the back of his squad car or the Jeep or whatever. He drives up to the cabin and he pulls, and Tucker and Dale are there like dragging half a body through the yard. And they're like, we had a douchey of a day today.
You would not believe what happened. All these teenagers just up killing themselves on my property.
It's been very traumatic.
Some kind of a suicide pact. Yeah. And they take him inside and he leans up on the freaking pillar and it comes down and like hits him in the face with the freaking nails and he comes stumbling out. That whole sequence with the cop, I think, is my favorite part of this movie. It's so freaking hilarious and it's so like hoodwinky, like how like all the sequence of events happens to just constantly make Tucker and Dale look like psychopaths. It's awesome.
Everything in this movie just fucking works on a comedic level. It's beautiful. It's fascinating.
Oh, damn it.
I think my favorite part in this movie is when the college kids throw that rock through the cabin window with Dale's fingers in it Tucker's fingers in it, and Dale opens them up and he's like, oh no, the bowling finger.
He got his bowling fingers.
And then at the end of the movie he gets his fingers reattached, but one of them is from like the girl who got blown up.
Yeah.
It's got red fingernail polish on it.
I have two.
Go ahead, dude.
Okay. So I can't decide which one is my one and which one's my two. So I have two. So one of them is when Tucker is fighting off the bees with his chainsaw, and he's running through the forest with his chainsaw, and the college kids are also running from him. But then he's like neck and neck with one kid, and he like kind of looks over and he looks forward, and he's still running with his chainsaw, and the bees are everywhere, and the kid impales himself on a piece of wood, and he's just dead.
Yeah.
And they assume like that kid did it to on himself purpose, because it's a suicide pact. My second one is when Allison comes out and she's in her little like forest outfit, and she's like, hey, what are you doing? I grew up on a farm. I believe in pitching in.
Yeah.
And she like starts digging the shitter hole or whatever. And they're like, and the college kids are watching, they're like, they're making her dig her own grave.
I'm just over here digging a shitter hole. I mean, a crapper hole. I mean, shit. I don't mean to swear in front of you. It's like, yeah, dude, that whole sequence is hilarious too. God, she's hot though. I can't get over how freaking gorgeous she is in this movie. Vader, what's your favorite movie?
She hates pancakes.
You know, I think Jude kind of like covered my favorite parts too. I like the wood chipper scene.
Yeah.
That's just funny. That's like when things really start going off the rails with this thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I really enjoy the stuff with Dale. He's such a sweet dude. He's really, he's very innocent. And, you know, he just wants to like come off as a little smarter than
really
he is.
Really good at Trivial Pursuit.
Yeah, you know, really good at trivia. You know, it's like I just retain stuff. You know, I have dumb facts in my head. I don't know why I remember any of them.
I feel the same way sometimes.
But I relate to him a little bit. I'm not even lying when I say that because I do.
You got a lot of Dale in you.
I got some Dale in me, yeah. Man. It's like, you know, I can never talk to girls. It's like, go up there. You know
that bitch Carol Baskin killed her husband.
I'm talking about
tell
when
me
I was back
more.
In.
Like,
you're real pretty. You want to go out and get some pizza or something someday? That'd be really nice.
The fact that you're like flirting with Jude right now without even knowing it. She's just so endearing.
You're really kind of cute.
It's like my mating call.
I like your friend.
I really like those shorts you got on. A plaid really makes you look kind of hot.
I love flannel.
That Tito's hat.
My Tito's hat.
I don't know why you're with that piece of shit over there. But you're gonna be the real man. God damn it, I'm married.
I pretend I'm not this. Every week he sees me.
Got some beer. He's really pretty.
My ribs hurt.
I got my face.
Like my whiskers. got some manly whiskers. Yeah. No, for real. I used to really... Dale, like I said earlier, he's my spirit animal a little bit.
I'd hang out with Dale.
I would totally hang out with Dale.
Yep.
I'd hang out with them both. Yeah. I'd play some trivia.
Why don't you guys come camping with me?
If you get a cabin.
Is that a different thing? Okay.
Yeah, that's a different thing.
All right. We'll rent a cabin together. We should do that. We should do a remote podcast.
Will it be a cabin in the woods?
Yes. We should do next year.
Mount Charles. Bye.
Next year, October, we rent a cabin and do a remote podcast from the cabin.
Down.
And watch scary-ass movies.
And get murdered.
Alive!
For your enjoyment.
Don't forget to drop those super chats.
Become a patron so that you can support our dream.
We'll give you those super thanks.
All right. Vader, give this movie a rating, bud. What do you got for it?
I'm going to go solid 4.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
This is a really fun, good movie. I enjoy it every time.
Yep.
Every time.
Jude, how about you?
It's a very strong, not just a 4, but a not strong 4, but a super strong 4.
Let me ask you, what's keeping you from giving it a 5?
I don't know, because I feel like I've gotten too loosey-goosey with my 5s. Mm. But so this is one of my yearly watches around spooky season. Mm-hmm. I feel like, so I'm a horror girl, not to be confused with whore, which I also am. I am a horror watcher girl. And like, I love having scary movie nights. And so this is one of those movies that I can show to anyone, and it's not too scary to show to people, and it's just so entertaining. And I feel the same way about this and Cabin in the Woods. It's just like there's so much more to it than the scary aspect.
I think this is the up there. There's a couple movies I try to watch every October. Mm-hmm. This is one.
Yes.
Shaun of the Dead.
Yep.
Is right there.
Yeah.
With it, you know, the kind of the movies that are good in the genre that they're in, but also don't take themselves too seriously and are kind of funny at the same time.
Yeah.
You know, this is very in that vein, you know, so.
Yeah, 100%. And this is more of like a horror comedy.
Absolutely.
For me, it's not a 5-star horror because it's not that. It's more of a horror comedy, which is, I think, it's
completely
in a
different genre
category. I guess if I was rating it on just a horror comedy, it would probably be 5-star, but I'm not. I do what I want. The rules don't matter.
The rules don't matter. Points are made up. It's all good.
Yeah. So as far as like spooky season goes, this is a movie that I feel like I can show to anyone and have people come over, and it's not going to freak people out, but they're still going to enjoy it and still kind of scare scary-ish.
It's got gore. It's got it does not shy away from the gore.
It's got something for everyone, and it's super hilarious. Yeah. And I love it, and I could watch it again and again. And Alan Tudyk.
Yeah, yep. He's awesome.
Yeah.
Kadesh, how about you, bud? What's your rating for this one?
I give this one a solid 3 Pabst Blue Ribbons out of 5.
Only 3?
Yeah, only 3. Like I said, I'm not as high on it as, you know, the rest of you guys, but it's still a good, solid, and enjoyable movie. So 3 out of 5.
Okay. This is a 4. I'm with you guys. This is a 4-star movie. Easily. The only thing that makes it not a 5 is I didn't really give a shit about the college kid's backstory with the hillbilly thing.
Hey, college kids!
Yeah. Like, his whole, like, I'm a hillbilly, and he becomes, like, the crazy murderer. Like, I didn't need that. He could have easily just been the douchebag who ends up being, like, the evil guy.
It's funnier to for college kids than it is to call for douchebags.
No.
Hi, douchebag.
Hi, douchebag.
Doesn't have the same ring.
Hey, college kids, I got your friend.
Scarier.
Damn it, I love this movie.
I'm going to leave him a message.
It's like, I've got your friend carved in the freaking. This movie's awesome. Easily 4-star. I love this movie. I watch it all the time.
Makes me want to put my flannel on and drink some beer.
Yes.
Heck yeah. Yes.
I'm serious about next year. Next October, remote podcast.
I'm serious.
Excellent.
About next year.
All right, let's do it.
Maybe we'll be able to do this full time next year.
Maybe. That would be fantastic. If you guys want to support our dream, go to saltynerdclub.com.
Yeah.
And help support us. If you just
want to be a patron until next year,
yeah,
that's fine.
Sure.
We'll take your money.
All right, we are.
College kids.
We are sufficiently drunk. Okay. Let's polish this up. Vader, where can they find you on the socials, bud?
You can find me at MattVader74 on
Getter.
I really don't do much there. Twitter, YouTube, Instagram, and on Saturday mornings here on saltynerdvideo.com for the home gang and other places.
Cool.
Just type my name, we'll be out there.
All right. And Jude, where can they find you at?
Lee's Liquor Store, also Total Wine. Yeah. Sometimes in Sprouts in the liquor department.
Cheers to that.
You can find me at I Am Jude Juju on Instagram, on Twitter, and on TikTok.
And Matthew Kadesh.
Also in bars.
In bars. Where can they find you at, bud?
You can find me at Matthew Kadesh, KADISH on Twitter, and KadeshBooks.com will take you to my Amazon page. Also, join our Facebook group. You can head on over to Facebook, do a search for Salty Nerd Podcast. It should come right up. And also, if you like this video and you want to, you know, help support the show, we have Super Thanks enabled, which allows you to leave a paid comment that shows up at the top of the comments and also guarantees you a response from us. So if you want to do that, we'd be really appreciative.
And I'm your host, Alex, the Salty Nerd. You can catch me exclusively on our Discord app, saltynerddiscord.com, if you want to chat with us about the movies that we talk about. And of course, please, if you guys want to become a member of the club, which is a fantastic community that we have right now, go to saltynerdclub.com. And thank you all very much for joining us. Don't forget to like and subscribe and share this video with your friend. And as always, stay salty, my friends.
Shop at Wise, you now get rewards points for almost everything you buy. From cereal to cat food to ice cream, there's plenty of points to be found. And all those points add up to big savings on food or fuel.